Welcome to Sierra Club Radio, a weekly show of green news you can use. Now, here's your host, Orly Cotel.
Welcome to Sierra Club Radio. On today's show, we'll talk with David Parker, the Minister of Energy for New Zealand, about their country's commitment to go climate neutral. We'll also get some tips on green gardening and hear from Hollywood star Daryl Hannah about her life as an environmental activist. We'll check in also with Paige Gardner from Women's Voices Women Vote about environmental voting trends for women. And we'll hear from Time Magazine writer John Cloud about why bison burgers can be a good environmental choice. We have a special guest today. We're here with David Parker, the Minister of Energy and Climate Change for New Zealand. Welcome.
Thank you.
So New Zealand recently made this big announcement that you are going to try to become the world's first climate neutral country. Tell us a little bit more about your plans.
Well, New Zealand already has some advantages and some disadvantages. We already produce over 70% of our electricity from renewable sources, and we can do even better than that. In fact, in days gone by, it got up to 95% at one stage. The Prime Minister thinks that environmental sustainability is a real issue for the world. We pride ourselves in New Zealand of being at the front of the pack on environmental issues, whether it be water quality, protection of our fish species, protection of our landscapes. You know, already about a quarter of New Zealand is in conservation reserves, and so she says that one of the big challenges for the world is climate change, and she has said that New Zealand is going to show leadership in this, just as we have in nuclear issues over the years. And so we're pinning our ears back and advancing towards carbon neutrality.
If you're already getting 70% of your electricity from renewables, how is it going to be possible to go that extra mile and really squeeze even more of the renewable energy possibilities?
Well, New Zealand's quite a windy country. We're essentially a very large couple of islands in the South Pacific that at the end of the trade winds, which come across the southern oceans. And as a consequence, New Zealand's got a very, very cost-effective wind resource. If, you know, the wind turbines that we have in New Zealand run, you know, 50 to 100% more effectively than the same wind turbine in a lot of parts of Europe. I'm not sure what the comparison is with parts of the United States. So wind power is very cost-effective in New Zealand, and we've got a lot of it. At the moment, it only accounts for about 1% or 2% of our power, but it's being rapidly deployed now and is likely to grow to sort of 10 to 20% within a decade or two.
What kind of support do you have from the business community?
It's changed a lot in the last year. We now have some very strong lobby groups from within the business community, notably an organisation called the Business Council for Sustainable Development, whose membership now is made up of some of the larger companies in New Zealand, all of whom think that sustainability is a real issue. They recognise that the cost of this transition to a more sustainable future is not large in the scale of things, that these transitions can be made over time at modest economic cost. And they also are very acutely aware of the trade risks that exist for New Zealand if we get this wrong.
Do you have any plans to help other countries follow your lead?
Well, in the Pacific, we take a leadership role, as does Australia, but in respect of climate change issues, we're probably leading in the Southern Hemisphere, I would think it's fair to say. We are the only Southern Hemisphere country that ratified an Annex 1 Kyoto target.
I know that Australia recently banned the incandescent light bulb. Do you see yourself starting a little bit of a competitive relationship with them over who's going to take bigger steps?
Yeah, they haven't quite banned them yet. They've announced that they intend to ban them in the future. They're in the middle of an election, and climate change has become an issue over there because, apart from anything else, of the terrible, terrible droughts that they've been having over there for the last few years, which are driving farmers off the land. We actually cooperate across the Tasman with Australia in minimum energy performance standards for appliances and, I'm sure, in the future, light bulbs.
How long do you think it's going to take you to have New Zealand become a completely climate-neutral country?
Oh, by some decades, I would think, before we are completely neutral. In some sectors, we will get there sooner than others. I think that the electricity sector, for example, will get there reasonably quickly. Carbon neutrality ambitions on our part involve reducing our emissions as far as we are able and then sequestering the balance of our emissions through offset programs like planting trees, which sequester more carbon. In some areas of the economy, we've actually got carbon neutrality breaking out all around us as we speak, really. Since the government's announced this, there are quite a few corporates have followed the lead. The government said that we're going to have an initial six government departments carbon neutral by 2012. We're seeing one of our power companies is already completely carbon neutral, one of our biggest power companies. We're seeing banks say that they believe in the ambition for carbon neutrality, setting themselves on towards a path of carbon neutrality by 2010 in respect of one of New Zealand's biggest banks. So we're seeing progress towards that long-term ambition of carbon neutrality. It's not going to be achieved overnight because it will take some time to overcome some of the, you know, to replace some of the capital infrastructure that's presently carbon intensive. But as these assets are replaced, you're going to see less carbon intensive alternatives invested in and gradually New Zealand's carbon footprint reducing. And when I say gradually, I suspect more effectively than a lot of other countries.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today. Is there anything else you want to add for our listeners here in the States?
The world is very reliant on America's response to climate change for two reasons. Firstly, you're such a large emitter, and therefore if America doesn't reduce its emissions, then the rest of us can do our best, but it's still pretty hard to win the battle. Secondly, it's important that America engage, because without America engaging, there is less pressure on developing countries like China and India to do so. But thirdly, and almost more importantly, the economic power of the United States and your technological ability, your ability to innovate, the strength of your capital markets to bring forward new low emissions technology when it is developed are an essential part of the mix when it comes to overcoming the climate change challenge. And I'm looking forward to the United States' contribution in years to come.
If you ever want to host a delegation from the Sierra Club, I'm sure we would love to visit New Zealand and see some of the stuff that you're working on down there and help bring about some more change in the States. Thank you for joining us today. Again, you've been listening to David Parker, the Minister for Energy and Global Warming of New Zealand.